Job chapter 18, which I believe to be the place we left off last time. And as you're looking for that, I think I might ought to give you a progress report. This is a little silly and a little off topic. A few of you are aware that I have had constructed a man cave. A few of you don't know this. When we moved into our house, we had a room in the basement which was approximately 2 inches taller than I am tall. It had a concrete floor and it had drywall. It had relatively little protection from anything else. So the thing mildewed pretty badly a few years ago. Had all that fixed. Well, I've had all that fixed up, air conditioning ducts and all that brought into the room. A false ceiling put in, so it's now 1 inch taller than I am. Lights and all this kind of stuff. And I had a grand total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times 4, 20 electrical outlets put into it to make sure that I had power for anything at any place. I should have moved into this place in July. I actually moved in the desks out of my office upstairs yesterday. I plugged in a power strip into one of the plugs under the desk. I plugged a giant monitor into that. I turned on the power strip, actually my son did because he's flexible enough to crawl under the desk and do those kinds of things. There was a giant pop, the smell of smoke, and we unplugged the power strip. I went and got a second power strip, plugged that in, plugged a radio into it. I decided not to risk the monitor. That one buzzed like crazy and smoked. And the consequence is that I wanted to be able to say I've actually studied my lesson in my man cave for the first time. Didn't happen. Didn't happen. The house is not burned down yet, but I have nothing plugged into those 20 outlets either. Maybe there will be an electrician come next week. I don't want discussion of this. I just want to tell you something of what's happened with all of this week. There's more, but that's probably enough for right now. Okay, how does the book of Job start? What's the first thing we see? We do not see Job. What's the first thing we see? We see God in heaven. Who's there with God? His angels. And among them, or with them, depending on which translation you look at, is Satan. And God says to Satan, where you been? And Satan says,
roaming around.
And Satan says, not yet, he doesn't. Ah, you've forgotten. I've been on earth, roaming around down there. God says to him, did you notice my servant Job? A pure and honest, one translation says, a pure and blameless man who fears God and shuns evil. And Job says, yeah, I notice he's rich as could be, and why wouldn't he be serving you? He's rich. And God, for some reason that I do not claim to understand, said, paraphrase here, have at him. But don't hurt his health. And what happens? His children all die. His possessions are all taken away. And what does he do? He says, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What do we see next in the book of Job? We see God in heaven. Who's with him? You're forgetting this, and I, every once in a while I need to go back and remind you, who's with him? His angels. And with them, or among them, depending on which translation you looked at first, is Satan. And God says to Satan, where have you been? And Satan says, down on earth, roaming around, to and fro, I think Hal's translation says, right? Did you notice my servant Job, a pure and honest, some translations say pure and blameless man, who shuns evil, fears God, and shuns evil? And Job says, well, why wouldn't he? He's still got his health. Satan's already wrong. Satan said what Job would do, and Job didn't do it. So Satan comes back for a next time. He says, well, sure, he's still got his health. Why wouldn't he do that? And God says, paraphrase, please, have at him. And the next thing you know, yeah, don't kill him. Can't take his life, but you can take everything else. And the next thing you know, we finally see Job. And all those things that you wanted to say a few moments ago, what do we see? We see pity beyond pity. We see awful beyond awful. Covered with boils, covered with sores, sitting in an ash heap in absolute misery. And what does he say? If we take good things from God's hand, must we not take evil things as well? If that's what God gives us. And in all of this, Scripture says, Job did not sin. Friends of his hear about it. How many? We don't know, but three of them came. What are their names? Start with the start one. Eliphaz, whom we assume to be the older one, the more experienced one, and
Bildad.
And I
sign
my letters, my notes, my emails to my children with Bildad, because I'm Bill and I'm that. And the third one, whom we assume to be the youngest one, is.
How are we doing so far?
How are we doing so far? Okay, are you starting to remember some of this? Is it working?
Yes.
Is it working? Okay. And when they come, what's the first thing that happens? I'm saying this very carefully. What's the first thing that happens? They don't recognize Job. And when they do recognize Job, they sit in stunned silence with him for how long?
7 days.
7 days and seven nights. The most wonderful thing they ever do. We had another case this week. There's somebody in trouble. You know what they said? Don't tell them to pray for me. You know why? We've had this conversation before. You know why? Because we don't know how to be silent.
So we don't know what?
We don't know how to be silent. The phone rings off the hook. They have to explain to person after person after person what's wrong, and they don't want to do that. And so they say, don't tell anybody to pray for me. How do we ever get into this position? I don't know. I don't have much of a solution. I got this much of a solution. If somebody's really in trouble, as this person may be, call somebody else. Call the church office. Call Kitty, because I think Kitty would tolerate a call like this. Call me if you need to, and if you can track me down. Sometimes I answer my emails. Right, Mike? Sometimes I don't. If you are in trouble, you want the church praying for you. But I got to tell you, I get it when people say, don't tell them to pray for me, because they don't want a deal. But somehow we need to face that. His friends came, didn't recognize him at first. When they finally recognized him, they were filled with horror. And they sat with him in silence for 7 days and seven nights. In all the rest that we're doing, I don't want to lose track of that. His friends came. Good for them. His friends were filled with pity, with consolation, with a wish that they could do something. They sat with him, and they sat with him in silence for a long time. Who broke the silence? Job broke the silence. That is to their credit also. And when Job began to speak, what's the first thing he said? I wish I'd never been born. Then who spoke? Eliphaz. Then who spoke? Job. Then who spoke? Bildad. Then who spoke?
Job.
Then who spoke?
Zophar.
So far we're doing pretty good. Then who spoke? Job. Then who spoke? Eliphaz, and the cycle starts again. How many cycles?
Three
cycles. In the third cycle, who doesn't speak?
Zophar.
Where are we in chapter 18? Who's speaking? Bildad. Which cycle?
Second
cycle. Are we now properly oriented?
Yes.
We've run out of time. Let's pray, and I'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Okay. Hello. Bildad is speaking in response to what Job has been saying. So I need to do a little bit more review. What did Job say? I wish I'd never been born. What does Eliphaz say? And Bildad and Zophar when their term comes. And the variations are there, but what do they say? Can you get it in a sort of a logical order? That was a conclusion. That's not the first. That's the end. What's the first thing they say? Uh-oh. It's a good thing we're reviewing. Let's get this straight. What is in essence their first beginning point on their logical chain that leads them to where Hal blurted out just now? When people suffer like you're suffering, there is a reason for it. I want to be real careful. That's the logical chain. When people suffer, and certainly when they suffer like you suffer, there is a reason for it. That is point one. Point two is what? You can do this, because we've been wrestling with this for several weeks. You can do this. I know you can. What was the first point? Have you forgotten it already? No, you haven't. What's the first point? When people suffer, especially when people suffer like you do, like you're suffering now, there's a reason. Okay, I want to separate those two logical points because I do not believe they fit together perfectly. I would have made a lawyer, wouldn't I? That was the other thing I might have done. I think I like what I do better. When people suffer, especially when they suffer like you do, there's a reason. Point two, what's the reason? They have done something wrong. What are the words that are used in place of wrong? Evil or sin? Okay. Point three. Anybody want to guess?
John, you want to guess?
John doesn't want to guess. I know Willie doesn't want to guess.
You confess what you did.
Okay. You need to acknowledge your sin. And point four. You need to, and point four, maybe I should make it 2 points. You need to acknowledge that you have done evil, that you have sinned. You need to repent, and you need to beg God's forgiveness. I don't know if that's 2 points or three or all just in one. What was the first point?
Acknowledge.
When people suffer like you suffer, especially like you suffer, there must be a reason for it. Please do not put point two in there because I don't think it fits. I think you need to separate this chain of logic just a little. Point two, the reason is that you've done something wrong. You have sinned. You have done evil. Point three, or three or four, or three and four and five. You need to acknowledge that you have done wrong, evil, sin. You need to repent. What does repent mean? Turn from it and determine with everything you have that you are not going to do those things again. And then beg God's forgiveness. And if you do that, point four, or five or six, wherever we are,
God will honor.
God will honor that, and God will restore you. Because prosperity is a gift from God to those who are not doing sin and evil. What's Job's reply to that little chain of logic? What is his number one reply? He says, I haven't sinned. And that's a problem for us, which I have not brought to your attention until this moment. I've been waiting to bring this to your attention. He says, I have not sinned. Is that true?
No.
So what did he mean? I have not sinned, that God and I have not settled the consequences of that already. So we have been saying it in what way? I may be sinful. But I'm blameless. And there's this, I don't know how well the Peanuts cartoon fit. Did you ever go and look at that?
Yes.
Did any of you actually go and look at this thing? Did you?
Yeah.
Did you see that cartoon? Okay.
I saw.
Did you see that? Right. Sign this paper, it absolves me of all guilt. Lucy says, sign this paper, it absolves me of all guilt. She gets Charlie Brown to sign it. Why am I signing this? It absolves me of all guilt. Anywhere in the world, I can't be blamed for anything. And Charlie Brown says, that must be a great piece of paper to have. I don't think it fits perfectly, but it fits just enough. This is not arrogance. What is this? Gratitude and humility. Gratitude and humility. Job says, I may not be sinless, but I am blameless. I am innocent and I am pure. What was God's statement about Job way back in? We still haven't done anything new, have you noticed that? Are we wasting our time yet?
No.
Thank you, I hope not. What did God say of him? Did you notice my servant Job? What was God's description? Pure and blameless. One translation says pure and honest. The other one says shuns evil, fears God. God says he's pure and blameless. What's Job doing? He's agreeing with God. What are these three friends saying?
Not true.
Let's paraphrase. You're full of it. Just in case you don't know, I have a degree. It's a BS degree. I just lied to you. It's actually a BA because my school didn't offer BS's, but it should have been a BS. When you major in physics and math and chemistry, you ought to get a BS. A BS. Everybody knows what BS means. What does MS mean?
More
of the same. What does PhD mean? Higher and deeper. Right? Okay? That's basically what they're saying to him. You are suffering like nobody's ever suffering. If you suffer, there's a reason. The reason is you've done something wrong or sinful. What you need to do is acknowledge it. And what's Job refusing to do? He's refusing to acknowledge it.
He's not acknowledging to them.
Correct. He's not acknowledging to anybody. He is claiming that he is blameless. What's God's verdict way back then? He is blameless. What's Job saying? I'm blameless. Can you say that? Can you say that?
Yes.
You can. Do you? I don't very often. Why? Because I know my sin too well. That day when Jesus knelt on the ground and wrote in the dirt that Tom Stocks told us about 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, what was he writing? All the speculation out there suggests maybe what he was writing were the things that these people had to be guilty about that they hadn't dealt with yet. Maybe that's right. David said, my sin is ever before me. Job knew he had sinned, but he had dealt with it all. At least as well as he could know, he had dealt with all of it. Therefore, in God's eyes, he was blameless. And he would not give that up. and it drove his friends into a frenzy. Just like that. Drove his, like you heard. So here we go. Let's see if I can turn this back on.
Yes.
Chapter 18. Who's speaking? Bildad. Which cycle?
Second
cycle. Okay. I like the New Living Translation here. How long before you stop talking? If you want us to answer, why don't you speak some sense? Do you think we're mere animals? This is the second half of verse 3. Do you think we're stupid? What's Job's answer if he had answered at that point?
Yes.
Yeah, I think you're stupid. That's not what it says in this other translation I have. That's what it says in that. The message says, get serious. Why do you treat your friends like slow-witted animals? You look down on us as if we don't know anything. Why are you working yourself up like this? Do you want the world redesigned to suit you? Should reality be suspended to accommodate you? What does the word delusion mean? Your view of what reality is crossways to what reality really is. They think Job is delusional. Job thinks they're delusional. Who's right? Job's right. You know, it's interesting when you deal with someone who is delusional, and sometimes I can tell. Sometimes, not always. What do you do? How do you cut through that? The reason this seems so repetitious is you've got these two challenging points of view butting up against each other, and each one is convinced they're right. One of them is. But the trouble is, Job is still suffering. And Job buys into most of what they're saying. Remember how many times so far he has said, look, everything you said, everybody knows that. And what have they been saying? If you're in right relationship with God, things go well for you. And Job says, who doesn't know that? The trouble is, Job says, but when I look around, I realize that's not true. I thought it was. I've lived as if it was. So, here we are with Bildad. Do you think we're stupid? And what does he say for the rest of the chapter? We're going to go through the whole chapter just like that. What does he say for the rest of the chapter? Oh, you've read this, right? That was your assignment last week? What does he say? The wicked do not prosper. They have a terrible time in life. They go down to the grave in shame. Take a look at verse 8. The wicked walk into a net, they fall into a pit, a trap grabs them by the heel, a snare holds them tight, a noose lies hidden on the ground, a rope is stretched across their path. How many different ways does he say it? 6 or 7, I guess. Hunger depletes their strength, calamity waits for them to stumble, disease eats their skin, death devours their limbs, they are torn from the security of their homes, they are brought down to the king of terrors. The homes of the wicked will burn down, the burning sulfur rains on their houses, their roots dry up, their branches wither, all memory of their existence will fade from the earth, no one will remember their names. And Job says in response, what? But I've watched. And that's not how it works. So we just finished chapter 18. You okay with that? We'd spend 2 hours on verse 2. We could do that. I can't get her to look at me, but we could do that. But I see no point in that. Chapter 19, who speaks?
Job.
Who's going to speak after Job?
Zophar.
So, you can sort of watch. As soon as Zophar starts speaking, what does that tell you? Job's finished with whatever he's been saying. Verse 4. Actually, verse 3. Second half of verse 3. Here's what the New Living Translation says. You should be ashamed of yourselves for treating me so badly. You should be ashamed of yourselves for treating me so badly. Verse 4. Even if I have sinned, that's my concern, not yours. And I need you, I believe I'm right. I believe I'm right. I need you to hear that as, if I have sinned and not dealt with it properly with God. I think that's what it has to be saying. Even if I have sinned and haven't dealt with it with God, that's my concern, not yours. Verse 5. You think you're better than I am, and you use my humiliation as evidence of my sin. But it's God who has wronged me, capturing me in his net. I cry out, help, but no one answers me. I protest, but there is no justice. God has blocked my way so I cannot move. He has plunged my path into darkness, and on it goes in that vein. Okay? Time out. We didn't finish reviewing. What are the big things Job's been saying? Those of you who take notes, go get your notes, because mine are sitting in my bag over there, and you got to help me here. What's the first big thing we drew attention to?
Won't
somebody hear my prayer? What was the second thing? And remember, we lost count of numbers, so the numbers sort of, they're fungible, if you know that word. It's a great word. The numbers sort of scatter around. What was the second thing he said? Won't somebody help me see what's going on? Because nothing that I see, my suffering does not make sense to me. Won't somebody help me understand that? What was the third thing?
Is now arbitrary.
Can't you tolerate my sin? That's the one that we answered right then. What's the answer?
No.
No, God cannot. God cannot tolerate or overlook my sin. We got a real problem here. So what's the next one? And we may have the order out. Can't there be an arbitrator, someone to stand between me and God, to help God understand me and to help me understand God?
Yes.
What else?
Will a man come back to life?
Everything I know says that when I die, I'm gone. But maybe that's not so. Can human beings come back to life? What's next? I hope there's a couple of others that rose up somewhere. I don't know that I numbered them. I don't know that I put them into the list in a formal way. Can a man be pure before his maker? Can a man seem pure before his maker? That's on my list, and I don't know if I put it on your list. Can a man seem pure? Even the angels aren't pure. Even heaven is not pure to him. Can a man seem pure before God? Now that was a point where I stopped for a moment and gave you a little bit of insight coming out of the New Testament. You remember where I took you? I'm trying to see if you can remember this.
The wedding feast.
Go to the wedding feast. All the people who were invited made excuses and wouldn't come. And the master of the house says, go grab any, I don't care who they are, grab anybody you can and bring them in. I want my house to be full for this wedding. And he comes into the wedding and he walks up to one guy and he says, how'd you get in here without a wedding garment? And when the guy didn't have an answer, he threw him out. What was that wedding garment? Christ's sinless righteousness covering my sin. Can a man be pure before God? The New Testament gives us an answer. What's that answer?
Yes.
Yes, if we accept Jesus as our Savior and his righteousness covers our sinfulness, then yes, that is possible. But Job doesn't know that yet. You okay? I got 4 minutes to do the rest of the chapter, and we have to do the rest of the chapter. I'd like you to look down at verse 21. Have mercy on me, my friends, have mercy, for the hand of God has struck me. Must you also persecute me like God does? Haven't you chewed me up enough? And then come the words that ought to be underlined in your Bible. I remember standing next to the big, I think it's the Titus Arch, just outside the Colosseum in Rome, and seeing in the stone chiseled the picture of the Jewish people being taken out of Jerusalem after the destruction of Jerusalem. Oh, that my words could be recorded. Oh, that they could be inscribed on a monument, carved with an iron chisel and filled with lead, engraved forever in the rock. Different translation. Will no one let my words be recorded, inscribed on some monument with iron chisel and engraving tool, cut into the rock forever? What are his words? His words are no longer a question. For the first time, this is not a question. And the heart of the whole book is in the next three verses. I have a living Redeemer. I know I have a living Redeemer. And that he will rise up at the last on the dust of the earth. And after my awakening, he will set me close to him. And from my flesh, in my body, I will look on God. He whom I see will take my part. My eyes will be gazing on no stranger. Here's the other translation. But as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. He will stand upon the earth at last, and after my body is decayed, yet in my body I will see God. I will see him for myself. I will see him with my own eyes. I am overwhelmed at the thought. Where has Job finally gotten to? There has to be a Savior. One of the big highlights that you didn't mention and that I should have, God, when you look at things, do you see things the way human eyes see them? Do you experience life the way a human being experiences life? I know that I have a living Redeemer. Who has he seen? Hundreds, thousands of years before the cross. What has he seen? The only way this all can possibly make sense is if Jesus exists. And when it's all over, I will live again. And I will live with my Savior. How did somebody that far back, with as little clue as he had, in the middle of the pain he was suffering, find his way away from questions to a statement of such confidence? It rises to one of the high points in the Bible. The answer is, I don't know. And I stand amazed. What Job has found is what every person must find. Can a person seem pure in God's sight? Yes, if they are clothed in Jesus' righteousness and his sinlessness. Can a person live again? Yes, if they choose Jesus as their Savior. Can somebody see the big picture? Yeah, Jesus showed us that. Can God experience what life is like as a human being? Yes, Jesus did that. All of Job's questions are answered, and he is no longer asking questions. He has made a statement. And the high point of this part of Job has been reached. What's your assignment? Read the rest of Job, starting with chapter 20. Who's speaking in chapter 20? Zophar, we're okay. And when Zophar finishes, who's going to talk? And when Job finishes, who's going to talk? Eliphaz, and we're starting the third cycle. And in the third cycle, Zophar does not speak. Willie?
26, this is an interesting statement. This I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. I don't remember ever hearing anybody else mention the fact that in your flesh you see God.
Listen to this translation, it says it even more clearly. After my body has decayed, yet in my body I will see God. What did Paul say? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we will all be changed. Imperfection will put on perfection.
We are in Christ. We are a new creature.
Mm-hmm. But that all is a heavenly body. And Job somehow has seen that too. If this is not underlined in your Bible, find a pen that doesn't bleed through, but underline this one. Let's have a word of prayer as we go. Our Father, we thank you that through the eyes of Job, we can see how somebody in the deepest pain anybody has ever experienced has begun to see you, to see who you are, and to see the plan that you had from the creation of the world. To see your Son, to see your Son as someone who must have lived on earth and yet lives again in heaven at your right hand as our advocate, as our redeemer, as our kinsman, as our elder brother. We pray by his name that you would keep us safe, guide us and guard us, guide this good church of whom we are part. For we pray all this in your son's name. Amen.